Welcome, everybody, to All About Symbian Insight number 88. Ewan's off hacking something in London, I believe. But Rafe, you there?
I am indeed, Steve.
That's Rafe Blandford, chief honcho of allaboutsymbian.com. I'm Steve Litchfield, and you can also follow us on Twitter, just to get the plug in nice and early. Steve Litchfield with no space, and Rafe Blandford with no space. And if you want to, Ewan Spence with no space. Okay, on with the news. Lots of stuff to get through. First of all, some hardware. I gathered the Nokia 5730 is now in the house, Rafe.
It is indeed. I bought one of these so we can review it on the site. I'm actually going to send it off to Steve pretty much straight away because I've got rather a lot going on right now. But I did have an opportunity to take it out of the box to take a few photos. And effectively, this is kind of the music version or the consumer version in some ways of the E75. It's the horizontal slide-out keyboard, you know, full QWERTY keyboard. There are some important differences, and most of these really are in the materials. So, for example, the E75 is mainly finished in metallic, certainly around the side and on the back, and there's internal bits as well. Whereas the 5730 is actually slightly fatter than the E75, not by very much, but then is finished in plastics. It also has a couple of extra keys. For example, it's got some music controls down the left-hand side, and sort of two engage or sort of gaming keys on the top of the handset. Other than that, you can see that it's really two sister devices. Even the design in the terms of the slider and the way the keyboard works, there's a central sort of structure that is used for the slide and to keep the keyboard in place, and it's visible as a metal line in the centre of the E75's keyboard, and it's a plastic line in the centre of the 5730's keyboard. And in terms of dimensions and placing of things like the 3.5mm audio jacks, they're in the same place as is the power port. Both can be charged over micro USB. There's a few differences on the side. The E75 has volume and voice controls in addition to the camera shutter, whereas the 5730 only has the volume controls. There's a slight difference on the camera as well, I believe. They're both 3.2 megapixels, but the 5730 has the Carl Zeiss optics, which means we might get slightly better results out of the camera. I haven't really tried it extensively enough to comment on that yet. And the software bundle is, of course, slightly different, with more of an emphasis on music. So there's, for example, there's the music search application, and within the internet part of the phone, in the internet folder, there's extra icons for Ovi.mobi, Facebook, MySpace, YouTube, most of which are shortcuts. There's also a different home screen. Instead of having the E75 sort of business-centric switch profiles home screen, you've got a more consumer-friendly one,
yeah,
with sort of shortcuts along the bottom, and the by now familiar sort of contact bar that we've seen on some of the S65th edition devices. Overall, though, yeah. I mean, it's really, as I say, I've only held it for a little while. It's too early to sort of comment, but now, if you're looking for a QWERTY device, this is certainly going to be a contender. I wonder how well the build quality will stand up to the Steve Litchfield test. and I guess you're going to be taking a more in-depth look at this, Steve?
Yes, over the next week or so. I've also got a couple of feature phones, including the LG. I think it's the KS360, which again is a side-sliding QWERTY device. And that's kind of the low end, and the 5730 fits somewhere in the middle, and then the E75 probably at the top end. And I'm fascinated to look at the different compromises in terms of build quality and functionality that have to be made to get devices to the different price points. And of course, I'm interested in looking at the extra functions in terms of the media control and the camera on the 5730. So yes, itching to look at that one, Rafe. And there's also got devices coming up, just to give readers an idea of timescales for some of these. The X6, where's the X6?
That should be out, I suspect, towards the end of November. I mean, it should be in time for the Christmas market and some of Nokia's key comes with music markets, because as we know, this is a comes with music exclusive handset. Although I have a sneaking suspicion that by March or April time, you'll probably be able to buy the X6 without a comes with music subscription. Yeah. But certainly for the Christmas period, it'll be out then. And we can't really be any more concrete than that. So, yes, I'd say November for the X6.
Yeah, and we're planning to give that one to you, and I see it's mainly music and media focused. I'm sure Ewan will give it a good thrashing over a couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll get it a couple of weeks before wide-scale availability. The N97 Mini, Rafe, that's a bit closer, isn't it?
That is a bit closer. That should be with us, I think, by the end of October, possibly early November. I mean, these things do tend to slip a bit, and there's a great deal of variance. You know, they become available, and then it takes a month or two for them to become widely available. But again, this is one that Nokia is targeting as being available for the Christmas market. To start with, it's going to have a bit of a price premium, that it's probably going to cost about £425, something like that, which isn't far off the N97's £450, but I would expect that to fall over time. And I think I said in a previous podcast, I actually think I'd probably now pick the N97 Mini over the N97, because the refinements and the software are very similar, but I just think the design and build of the N97 Mini just has that little bit extra for me, especially given that it's a smaller size.
Yeah, I like the idea of the metal back as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the E72, you'll probably repeat the same answer as the previous two devices, but the E72?
That should be with us a little bit sooner. I understand that that's coming in towards the beginning of October, but this is going to be an interesting handset in that it will probably launch exclusively in a few places, because Nokia will kind of want to play up the sort of the premier nature of it, because this is the leading E-series, it's a successor to the best-selling E71, so it'll probably be available in relatively small batches in select markets. You know, Nokia typically does some exclusive things out in the Far East and particularly in the Middle East as well. So again, wider availability will be towards the end of October, and it will take even longer to get onto the network where most people will be buying it. But this is probably the one that I'm personally really interested in playing with, because the E71 was my main handset for quite some time. And the N97 Mini, again, it's an exciting one, but the E72 has, you know, really steps up to the plate for the QWERTY. It's the feature pack 2 software, you know, the faster hardware on board as well. Things like the optical joypad and the redesigned keyboard means there are some really key differences from the E71. So I think both of us are looking forward to getting our hands on that one.
Yeah, if you hear the sounds of a kerfuffle coming from all about Symbian Towers, it's Rafe and I having a scrap to see who gets to take which device home. There's also the 6760, which is the AT&T Surge in the States, and we're hoping that Ewan's going to have a look at that one as well. That's rather lower end and plasticky, but it does have a very nice form factor and QWERTY keyboard. There's also the Sony Ericsson Satio. I gather that's almost imminent, Rafe.
That's right. I mean, this should come out in the UK in the second week of October, so let's say October the 14th. I'm expecting to attend the sort of launch party or launch event for this device, as in launch into the market, on about, I think it's October the 7th. So yes, this is very imminent, and it's going to be available on multiple networks. For example, I can't recall off the top of my head, but I know there's several networks taking it. It's going to be available in Carphone Warehouse, and there's going to be various variants of this, one of which is silver and one of which I think is exclusive to the Carphone Warehouse. And then there's the black one that will be, I think it's on O2 and T-Mobile. I'll have to check up on that, but yes, coming to the, and quite widely available, in contrast to some of the earlier Sony Ericsson sort of smartphones, which tended to be restricted to one or two networks. And with that, we'll also get the SIM-free availability. I suspect that will actually start to trickle out in the next 2 weeks or so.
Okay, well, we're very much looking forward to this deluge of hardware coming towards Christmas.
Exactly, and the Satio is particularly notable, not only because it's a Sony Ericsson handset. I mean, I've had a look at this, and they've done a great job of customizing it. It really does feel like a Sony Ericsson phone, despite the fact it's running S60, and it's a pretty high-end device. We're looking at big touchscreen, the 12-megapixel camera. Well, that will reopen the megapixel debate, no doubt. And there's more to come as well. We've got some other handsets that we'll try and get our hands on, including the 5530. That's now out in the market, and the 6720. And, of course, there's Vodafone's exclusive S60 phone, the 6730, which has just come out. And, again, we'll try and get our hands on that. And, of course, there's also going to be excitement outside the Symbian sphere, because there's a lot of things coming in terms of competing devices, both from HTC, also Motorola. They announced their Click with the Android sort of blur UI on the top. And there's more to come from Vodafone, just announcing Vodafone 360. I guess we'll mention that later in the podcast with some of the first Limo Revision 2 handsets. And there's also some Windows Mobile stuff coming out from various companies, in addition to Samsung's Omnia, which are Windows Mobile handsets. So it's sort of the Christmas rush is upon us, I think. And we'll be looking at as many of these handsets as possible, both in the Symbian world, but we'll try and bring in some comparisons as well, because we like to place everything in its context.
Yeah. Well, let's stay with the Vodafone 360. Yeah, were you at the briefing this week?
I wasn't at the briefing. Unfortunately, didn't get an invite to this, but I've been looking this up because this is, Rafe gets excited about service and strategy and things like this. So, this is one that really caught my attention.
Well, there's a device as well, isn't there?
There is a device as well. Yes. and we'll take those separately. First of all, the Vodafone 360 service. Effectively, you can see this as Vodafone's software and service play, i.e. the stuff that sits on top of the phone. And you may remember that Vodafone bought Zybe, which was sort of a contact management stroke backup. You know, do interesting things with your contacts company. That's sort of gone into the Vodafone machine and emerged as Vodafone People, which is Vodafone's take on the universal address book, similar to kind of the Palm Synergy concept. And we've seen it all over the place. And Nokia is doing its own thing here, of course, as well, which, you know, brings in your contacts from Facebook, from instant messaging providers like MSN and Yahoo, as well as other social networks. I think MySpace is also included. And so puts them into one address book, and then, you know, that's on your phone as well, and you have, you know, it has a pretty UI to go with it, you know, in terms of pictures and things like that. But it also brings in things like status updates, so it's the kind of the idea of the social address book, which is done with a Vodafone flavor. From the demos, it looks really quite impressive. You know, the proof is in the pudding when you actually start using it. And I think the other important thing you have to realize is Vodafone is using this as kind of its central tenant, but it's also tying a lot of services around it. So there's an app store, which is based on the sort of widget technology, you know, the usual HTML and cascading style sheet through the joint innovation laboratory. And the reason that's interesting is they're doing that with a couple of other operators, including China Mobile, which means we're, for the joint innovation lab, they're sort of creating in theory at least, a widget platform with operators of over a billion customers, I think it is. So developers may want to take a look at that. Of course, it's pretty high level, so you can't do very much with it. It is pretty much the basic widgets without any of the JavaScript APIs that let you access stuff on the phone. But still, you know, worth watching out for. And certainly having sat on the judging panel this summer for Vodafone's Summer of Widgets competition, there's been a lot of innovation in that kind of widget space, even with just sort of, without having to go into the phone. So worth watching out. And they're also going to tie in their music services and games, and I think going forward other services. So Vodafone 360 is replacing Vodafone Live, so it's, you know, all your Vodafone services will be accessed through this one way. So clearly this is a competitor to things like Nokia's Ovi, but also Google's sort of service approach on the Android platform, and indeed arguably Apple's as well through Mobile Me. And it's interesting to this is in one sense the first operator to really start playing in this space, although I think Orange, for example, might have something to say because they've opened up their APIs just in the same way that Vodafone have as part of Vodafone 360, so developers can build stuff on top of their network services. And there's a lot of, you know, really interesting potential for innovation there. As I say, I think the proof is in the pudding. In the Vodafone 360 stuff, you know, that ties you very singularly into your operator. And I'm not sure everyone will be willing to do that, especially if it doesn't deliver everything you need. It kind of needs to be all or nothing. And there are a few services missing. For example, I know some people have commented on the fact that AIM isn't in Vodafone 360 yet. I suspect things like that will come in time. But I think this is one of the reasons they've launched the kind of the Vodafone 360 dedicated handsets, which, let's say, a Limo revision to. And for those that don't know, Limo is a Linux platform. The commonalities on Limo are much lower down the software stack. And what I mean by that, it's not a platform in the same sense that S60 is with the, you know, full UI. It's sort of an agreed specification for APIs at a lower level. So it basically reduces the development time to build stuff on top of it. And this is the first big win, I think, for Limo, and is, you know, quite significant in that sense.
I was looking at the videos yesterday of the H1 was the higher end device.
That's right.
3.5-inch touchscreen, OLED display, Wi-Fi, 16 gigabytes of flash memory. If you look at some of those specs, if you were to just read out that basic specification even a year or so ago, you'd think, wow, that's a top-end smartphone from somebody. Who on earth has produced that? And now we're just talking about 3.5-inch OLED Wi-Fi 16 gig for essentially a feature phone. So this is the new H1 running the services Rafe just mentioned. There's also a lower-end one whose name escapes me.
I think it's the M1, something like that, which, again, touch phone. I mean, calling them feature phones is probably a bit unfair because they are running on a platform. And this is when, of course, the definition boundaries that we've talked about in the past blur completely.
They're just phones, I think. We just call them phones.
Exactly. call them phones. I think the issue here is maybe that the stuff that you can add on top in terms of third-party software is limited. And they're relatively closed in the fact they're Vodafone phones. And if you want to do stuff outside of the Vodafone world, that then becomes difficult. But it does mean they can create a really tightly integrated experience. And from the videos, you know, that looks very good. And that's what a lot of people are after right now. And Apple has built a lot of success on that model, even before the App Store. And, you know, a lot of people like the Apple phone because it sort of provides a complete experience. And the App Store, of course, is something on top. And Vodafone are trying to replicate the App Store by doing it through widgets, and I think we'll probably see more developments in that in due course. The interesting thing about Vodafone 360 from a Symbian point of view, or from a Nokia and Sony Ericsson point of view, is they have also developed Vodafone 360 to run on other handsets. Now, some of them will get the complete experience, and S60 gets a pretty full experience. It's going to be an add-on that will ship with Vodafone's Nokia devices. And I think that's the N86 to start with, and there'll be a couple of other. I think it's two initially, but you'll also be able to download it onto older handsets. And I'm sure the Nokia 6730, which is Vodafone's exclusive S60 handset, will get this in pretty short order. And this customizes the idle screen. In fact, it's built out of sort of the active idle screen technology that Nokia's been promoting to operators for a while, and sort of promotes up the widgets and the Vodafone service right to the top and implements Vodafone people, i.e. the sort of the universal address book in Vodafone's way. And it makes it fully customised on S60, which will actually result in an S60 handset that looks pretty different to what people are used to, although it will still be very recognisable.
Has this all been implemented with web runtime, or are there native applications? No,
this has been done with native applications. This is tied quite deeply into the core of the handset.
That sounds good.
But it does will run the widgets as part of the Vodafone 360 platform. And to go along with this, there's also a PC component that lets you do the syncing back and forth, and also a web component. And doesn't that remind you of sort of Nokia's Ovi pledge of running across the mobile, the web, and the PC? And certainly compared to Ovi Sync, I think this is a much more fully realized vision from Vodafone. Although, as with anything, I think it's a case of watch this space, because I know that Nokia are working on sort of the second big revision of their sync software. But it does demonstrate there's going to be a battle between operators like Vodafone on the big international scale, one of the world's biggest operators, the manufacturers like Nokia with Ovi, but also some of the service providers like Google. They're sort of some and some, because they also have Android, but they're providing a lot of their services, you know, to the Symbian phones. But it is quite noticeable that Vodafone have chosen to have the S60 one of their launch platforms, because they have a lot of S60 handsets on their platform, and they recognise that's probably the way they're going to reach more people, even if it doesn't have quite the same experience as a Vodafone 360 dedicated handset. So, you know, really interesting, and I'm still digesting this, and I think we'll write something up on the site in due course, but well worth watching. And that's kind of the future operator strategy. How do we survive becoming a dumb pipe? Build a service platform, a service layer that you put on top of as many handsets as possible, and play to your strength of the big operator.
Yeah, but of course, the obvious point is that it is, they locked you into the Vodafone world. Each of these big services and companies, they do love locking you in to get your money, which is fair enough. That's
and why everyone's trying to do it. You know, it's no different with Ovi or Apple. The degree of openness does vary between the two companies, and I think that may become a critical factor in the future. But yes, it's certainly going to make it interesting in that if you do want to switch things like operators, or indeed handset providers, it's going to be a rather more complex process, I think, in the future than it is now.
Yeah, interestingly, I'm Vodafone, big Vodafone fan, but I'm actually used pay-as-you-go SIMs. I take it from what you just said that at some point they will release this 360 interface as something, maybe a widget that someone with an existing Vodafone account can apply to their S60 handset, or will this only be future hardware and future?
No, it will be available for download. It will vary between the phones, and it'll, I think, be provided as a native SIS application. For some of these, it will be, you know, it'll be not the complete service portfolio. So I suspect the ones that ship with it in it will get the sort of customized active idle screen or home screen, whereas that may not be the case on the ones that downloaded. I'm going to talk to Vodafone sometime next week and try and get some clarification on those points. But certainly some of it will be available for download to Vodafone customers, and that's pretty smart. And it's, as I say, it's replacing Vodafone Live. So effectively what you'll do is you'll log on to Vodafone Live as you do now, and you'll probably see a big download link saying, you know, get the new Vodafone 360 experience. So I personally, I'm very looking forward to trying that out, because it's, you know, this is, we've said it before, these solutions, this software and services is the future. And Vodafone's just as valuable participant and just as likely to be a winner as any of the others. It has, you know, what's going for Vodafone basically is that they already own the customer relationship, and that's a very, very important factor, just as, you know, Nokia owning the hardware is an important factor, just as, you know, Google having existing services that it can sort of leverage onto mobile is just as important. And each has its own feature. Which one will, you know, be most important remains to be seen, and I think actually it will probably come down to execution rather than anything else. But, you know, this is Vodafone's bet for the future, so they need it to work. So they will be putting a lot of money into this. They're doing a 1 million euro developer competition, the top prize is 100,000 euros, which gives you some idea of the seriousness that with which they're taking this. They've trained up their staff across thousands of shops in multiple countries. So this is a really big thing.
Yeah, if anyone out there is listening to all this and thinking, wow, the mobile world just gets more and more complicated, I think you're right, but that's partly why we're here and partly why Rafe's here, to explain it all to us in words of three syllables or less.
Well, I try.
And we mentioned the N86 there in passing, just a few short items of news. The N86 next-gen firmware is coming. It is, I think it's been delayed a few weeks. It's now expected in the first week of October or so, and it will include face detection in the camera, which is, to my knowledge, is the first time any Nokia camera phone has had face detection. And there are also significant photo quality improvements, and of course the usual bug fixes. Several people, interestingly, have found the N86 completely rock solid. Others have found it completely bug-ridden, and I can't really understand why the experience is so different, unless it's something basic, like if you install component X like Nokia messaging, then things fall apart. But I really am expecting the next firmware update to make a major difference, so I'll certainly be reporting on that in huge detail, being a big N86 camera phone
fan. Steve, can I ask, being a bit ignorant on these things, I've seen face detection on Sony Ericsson and Samsung phones, but what does it actually do for me as an end user in terms of taking pictures on my phone?
What it means is, normally, you've got two or three people in front of you, or part of a group, or down the pub, or at an event, and you want to take a photograph of them. You'd point the N86 in their general direction, and you'd press the shutter button half down to focus, and it would focus on whatever is at the centre of the viewfinder. Now, sometimes that may be part of the clothing on your friend's bodies, and that will produce the right focus for their faces. Or sometimes the centre might actually be something in the background, and you get blurred faces. So what this does is, as part of that initial scan, rather than just focusing on the center of the viewfinder, it does a quick scan of everything in the whole viewfinder and tries to match up a face or two. It locks onto the strongest pattern of a face it can find and makes that the focus point. So if that face is at 3 meters distance, it then sets the focus at 3 meters. So then you carry on pressing the shutter and you know you've got a crisp, clear photograph of your friends' faces without having to explicitly set the center of the photograph up. I think that's how it works. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that sounds excellent. So basically it's a way of improving the software to mean I can take better photos without really realising it and without any effort on my part to point the camera in the right place, which of course is what Nokia have been doing all along with their camera phones, and I think it's probably one of the reasons, you know, their algorithm and all the stuff that no one really understands quite how they work in every detail. But no, that sounds good. I look forward to trying that out.
Yeah, the rumour has it they're also producing a Ewan mode to help Ewan Spence take better photographs, but I dismiss that. I'm afraid that's just conjecture and I don't see that happening.
I think that's a lost cause anyway. One day we'll have to show the viewer some of the photos that Ewan manages to take, and it's actually quite a gift to take photos that badly.
There is a reason why we often crib photographs from Rafe and my reviews for Ewan's reviews. Ewan, if you're listening, I'm sorry. We're sorry, we love you, but you just take terrible photographs. Also in the news, firmware-wise, there's a new firmware version 31.0.008 for the Nokia 5800. And well worth installing. There's a brand new version of Ovi Maps, that's 3.1, which is the whole new interface, new startup screen, all the extra 3D goodies. There's also significant performance improvements in the main interface. And most people I know who've tried version 31 on the Nokia 5800 have said, wow, this is just so snappy. It uses the RAM better. It probably uses the C disk better as well, although the 5800 isn't quite as C disk challenged as perhaps the N97. So that's a must update. And all the recent S65th edition updates and even third edition Feature Pack 2 updates with this user data preservation and over-the-air updates, I have to say I haven't had a single glitch in that all my data has been preserved every time. So there really is no reason not to go for any of these updates. Yes, do a backup first if you're paranoid, but I think in 99.9% of cases, it just 2 or 3 minutes out of your life while it updates, and hey, you've got a faster phone.
Yeah, especially with the over-the-air updates, it makes it incredibly easy. And I know I've just sort of see, oh, there's an update available. Oh, well, if I lose all my data, I lose all my data. You know, it's all the contacts are backed up elsewhere. And it's just the reinstalling applications that would be a hassle. So I have to admit, I don't always bother with a backup. Yeah, I know I'm really bad. But especially with the over-the-air updates, just let it do its stuff and away it goes. And I suspect if it failed, it would probably be a dead phone altogether. And as I said, never had a problem with it.
Yeah, and what some people are going to point out, I can just see people at home jumping up and down saying, oh, well, I've got a 5800. It was bought on, you know, in a UK store, and it's still on version 20 firmware. Why is there such difference within the same market with unbranded phones? I mean, obviously, there are different product codes involved, but can this mess be sorted out, Rafe?
Well, I'd like to say I wish it could be, as you've already intimated that the operator ones will often be later, but yes, it doesn't really make much sense why some of the SIM-free handsets seem to get it later than others. I suspect this is a case of a mistake on Nokia's end. I don't suppose it's anything deliberate, but it's just not ticking a box to say yes, the firmware is also available for this particular product code, because I'm pretty sure that the firmware is identical. There are differences sometimes, particularly in the operator variants, but often it's not so. I have asked Nokia about this in the past, and it's sort of been a not entirely satisfactory answer that they become available when they're available. And I think sometimes the product numbers, as you say, can be a bit annoying because it's sort of, for no apparent reason, is the update not available. I do know they're aware of this, and they're sort of working to try and make this thing sort of smoother, because they do want people upgrading their firmware ultimately, because a lot more of the Nokia services are going to be delivered this way, and there's an expectation that if they do this, they can probably persuade people to use them a bit more. And they're probably right in that. But yes, a frustration that's I don't really see any particular solution to yet.
Yeah, of course, there are under-the-shelf ways of changing the product code on your phone temporarily, doing the update and then changing it back. I couldn't possibly recommend them. But
no, I mean, you have to bear in mind that will void your warranty, so it's not a good idea. I will say that I know a lot of people do it, and it seems to work without any problems. But I would suggest that unless you're not worried about losing the warranty altogether, you avoid any such practices, because they are theoretically illegal, though we haven't seen any cases where anyone's got into trouble. But that's the way with many things.
What we're saying is, don't come running to Rafe and I when your phone gets bricked or Nokia says, sorry, we're not touching it, you've changed the product code.
Because the product code is actually recorded on the phone in terms of on hardware labels, so they do know when it has been changed. So just be aware of that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, Rafe, you were out yesterday. You were at an Ovi developer day.
That's right.
That sounds a tiny bit boring, but can you spice it up a bit and give us the bullet points?
Yes, I mean, this was really an opportunity that Forum Nokia provided for, you know, UK-based developers to come and hear the latest about Ovi developments. And, you know, they were promoting the Ovi store, talking about some of the case studies, but also the Ovi SDK that we discussed in the last podcast. And it was a good opportunity to go and see how Nokia communicating with developers. And the thing that struck me most of all was it's far more interactive than to events of Nokia, you know, going back a few years that they used to run for developers. You know, people were able to ask questions, and there was a lot of passion in the room. For example, there's still confusion over the Ovi Store quality assurance process. That's part of getting your application into the Ovi Store. Because they were getting rejected without any reason why. And there was one application that got rejected because they had an icon on the phone with someone having a slightly low netline, and nothing outrageous. And it got rejected because the image might have offended in Muslim countries. And Nokia have quite strict regulations on that kind of thing, understandably. But of course, there was no indication that this was the problem until they actually got some direct communication. So developers were complaining about that. Signing inevitably came up as well. But they were also talking about how they're willing to listen to developers and actually, you know, take steps to address concerns where they can. And it's far more, it does seem that Nokia as a company is now listening to developers a lot more. And there's a positive vibe in the room afterwards around, I think, the feelings that Nokia was actually changing its sort of tone a little bit, and rather than saying this is how you'll do something, you can develop for our wonderful devices, you know, we want to work with you to get the best things possible into OviStore. And there were some encouraging signs on OviStore having been a success. I mean, Mipin talked about how they'd had 200,000 downloads across their applications, with one of the most popular being Men's Fitness and another one being NME. Another company talked about the success they'd had in going through the Open Screen project to fund a finance application that was flashlight based and then able to sell it into the OviStore, and contrasted the process with going through operators where you have to sign all kinds of agreements and do a different one every single time and work with content aggregators for each operator, and the frustration of that versus being able to put something into the OviStore relatively instantly and start generating revenue. So really it was a sort of a forum for developers to hear more. But I suppose the point for developers to take away from this is that Nokia UK were listening, and we had Mark Lothran, the MD of Nokia UK, which I think is a representative of how serious Nokia take it. But also for a consumer point of view, there's a lot more interest around Nokia with the OviStore. And these things always take a bit of time. And we said when OviStore launched it would take a while. But there's certainly some interesting applications that I got to see that will be coming shortly. And there's some UK exclusive commission ones. There's Facebook birthday application, which basically interfaces with Facebook to download the birthdays of all your friends and pops up reminders on the screen. And there's other bits and pieces like that on the way as well. So it was quite interesting. I think the final thing to mention from the day was the announcement of Calling All Innovators UK, which is, again, another development competition, but it's for a UK-specific thing to try and encourage the creation of UK content for the OviStore with a £20,000 top prize. And so developers are encouraged, who are based in the UK, encouraged to submit applications to that. And you can do that through www.callingallinnovators.com/UK. So I certainly came away with quite a positive feel, and I'll do a write-up of the day to talk about some of the topics and share some of the interesting bits of information that were shared. I think perhaps I'll finish with one story, which was they were talking about the opportunities for the Irish market, which no one thinks about very much, and shared an interesting case study of how an application got created that was basically the national anthem of Ireland. For those of you that are familiar with it, it's quite a hard anthem to remember, and quite a lot of the population don't necessarily know what it is, and there's different versions. But this application sort of just caught the popular imagination. It was being used at football matches so people could sing along to the national anthem. It got onto RTE, which is the Irish TV network, and it was a demonstration of how local content can be very powerful and compelling within one market and sort of catch people's imagination. And, of course, that kind of success is what Nokia want to build on going forward. So it was an interesting day, and as I say, watch the site for more details in due course.
No, that sounds great. The OviStore certainly seems to be going from strength to strength, or maybe that should be from weakness to not quite so weak. And the amount of content being loaded into the store now seems to be of the order of about 100 items a week, maybe even more if you count all the different ringtones and extra content types. And as we reported on allaboutsymbian.com in the last week, re-downloads of items that you've bought on any handset you own, really, provided you're signed into Ovi, seems to be happening. It's still slightly patchy. I just tested it right now while we were recording the podcast. But I'm presuming over the next week or so that will be ratified and strengthened up so that everything that you can legally re-download, you will be able to re-download. So credit to the OviStore team for doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, the re-download is great to see. We say it's not quite clear exactly how that's going to pan out. We'll keep you up to date. And actually, Nokia said at the event they're adding 500 content items to OviStore every week. Now, of course, that will include some device variants and, as you say, ringtones. But certainly it's evident that on a weekly basis when the update seems to happen, sort of it tends to be Friday or Monday when the catalogue gets re-indexed and refreshed, there certainly tends to be five or six new things that are free that will be of interest in sort of a more wider selection of commercial titles. Certainly I've been picking up a few things recently, and it's definitely a sea change from the days where you had to actively go and seek out software, and certainly some of the numbers they were talking about do seem to be very encouraging. You know, for example, the sort of figures in August, Nokia being quite cagey about talking about exact numbers, because of course there's very few handsets that actually ship with OviStore preloaded, and that's still the case even now. 5730 still has the download icon rather than OviStore. The N97 is still the only handset that's really shipping in big numbers with it, pre-installed, but they said that the numbers for August were bigger than June and July combined, which gives you some idea that there's something of a J-curve going on in terms of the growth of the Ovi store. So it'd be interesting to see that going, and I think that trend will continue for, you know, at least a couple of months and going forward as more and more handsets you know, get it pre-installed. And if you think, you know, this time next year Nokia will be selling, you know, probably 25 million S60 handsets a quarter, something like that, maybe slightly less than that. Let's not get too enthusiastic, but they all have Ovi Store. It takes very little time at all for you to get to the 100 million mark and beyond. So yes, for all the criticisms around Ovi Store, as we said at the beginning, sort of patience, wait and see. And there's still things to fix, of course there are, particularly around discovery and some of the social recommendations that they talked about when it was first announced. But yes, very promising, and they certainly have the right idea, and I got that both at Nokia World, talking to some of the Ovi Store folks who talked about the fact that re-downloads were coming, and there's more on the way as well, so, you know, watch this space.
Yeah, and it was quite heartening to see things like BBC iPlayer turning up in Ovi Store this week, for example. So it's not just commercial entities submitting stuff.
And the YouTube client from Google is another good example of that, you know, making it easier to discover and get content onto your phone. And it is a mass market game. This is not about the people listening to this podcast. This is about the people who happen to own a phone, see the store icon, ooh, look, I can get such and such a thing. And, you know, when you're talking about hundreds of thousands of downloads generated in the matter of a few weeks, that's, you know, can start to be quite significant for a company, you know, even if they're doing an ad revenue model, or and if they're selling it, well, so much the better. So you know, a lot of potential there is yet untapped.
As a plug for my phone show, and also by way of relevant content, I've just done a head-to-head between the iPhone App Store, the Google Android Marketplace, and the Nokia Ovi Store, rating each of them on about 8 different criteria. Using the Ovi Store as it is today, with the re-downloads starting to be enabled and with the extra stream of content, I think now was the right time to do it rather than a few months ago. Android Marketplace is also still very new. And what struck me was that there are actually more similarities between the three main application stores than differences. I think the just to give you a bottom line from my phone show head-to-head, the Apple iPhone Store does win out eventually. It's obviously a year or so more mature. But the Android Marketplace wins out over Ovi Store slightly because of the sheer amount of enthusiast content there, and of course it's all open source, and there's lots of tools which have been able to be ported to Android fairly easily. But Ovi Store was there or thereabouts, and as you say, there is a certain acceleration going on. So I'm going to be very interested to revisit this in, say, 6 months' time, and just see how far Ovi Store has caught up.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Yeah, I look forward to watching that. And you're right, this thing is changing all the time. And we've said it before, but things just seem to be accelerating faster. And you know, one of the nice things about the Ovi Developer Day is chatting with developers. And there does seem to be a slight sort of sense that the next 5 years of mobile are going to be even more exciting than that which has gone before. And we'll start. And, you know, we always say this, but it does seem that we're, you know, entering the realm where a lot of the things that we've been talking about for the last few years in terms of software and services are starting to come to fruition in a meaningful way for everybody, and not just for the early adopters. And I think, you know, Nokia is very typical of Nokia. It's sort of addressing that for the mass market rather than necessarily the early adopters, although perhaps the N900 and MIMO suggest they're, you know, also wanting to address that high-end sort of that geekdom as well. But it's easy to forget Nokia's sheer scale and market share, and that will have an impact. Of course, you know, the economies of scale do come in, and ultimately, you know, as a business strategy, when you can have three app stores that are relatively equal, you're probably going to look to build to the one that is able to address the biggest market. And, you know, going forward, that certainly seems to be Nokia will be the major one. Android, I think, is going to come back very strongly. And of course, it's not quite that simple, because not everyone takes that business logic. And just because it's got the biggest potential reach, it doesn't mean people buy stuff on it. But for people who have written off Nokia, it's rather ridiculous when you look at these kind of numbers and reading the tea leaves. Nokia looks to be in a relatively strong position for things like app stores, if you're looking forward a couple of years, you know, accepting there are difficulties now, which is why it was interesting to see so much developer excitement around, and developers going, wow, you know, this is what we've wanted for so long. We've had to deal with operators and all of that. And, you know, the iPhone App Store has been a proof point. But if you can roll that out to a wider market, well, that's when it starts to get really interesting, because that's where developers can make serious money. And, of course, we've already seen this in the App Store. It's sort of developers saying it's the top 10 that make money. And that's partly because of a scale issue. So, Yeah, very interesting space to watch, and I'm sure we'll be talking about this a lot more over the next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're bang out of time, Rafe. I did have a few reader questions, but if you've sent a question into the All About Symbian podcast, then don't worry, we will get to it. Keep sending them into Rafe or I or you, and by email or by Twitter, and we'll batch them up and maybe have a reader Q&A special one week. That one might work well.
I'll try and waffle less so we have more time for questions. So yeah, apologies to everyone who sent a question in.
There we go. But for now, we will see you next week. It's goodbye from me, Steve Litchfield.
And goodbye from me, Rafe Blanford.